This morning we will be talking about Christ is our cornerstone. We will begin with a prayer. Heavenly Father, you are our right and true foundation. You are perfect, and whatever is built in alignment with you is right and true. We give thanks for the providing of the most true and solid foundation that we could ever hope for. We ask that you prepare our minds and hearts for this morning's message. Amen. On the front of your bulletin, I wrote a quote by John Roth and Molly Mauer. It says, 500 years ago, after the first adult baptism in Zurich, Switzerland, the Anabaptist movement is alive and well, flourishing in more than 80 countries around the world. This year, we celebrate 500 years of the Anabaptist faith. And so one Sunday a month for the next few months, and I'm hoping I can do it all year long, I'll be bringing information to you about our Anabaptist faith. There's not one single verse in the Bible that can summarize the Anabaptist faith. But this morning, we are going to be taking a look at 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 15. Know that the Anabaptist faith tradition began as a movement of people dedicated to Scripture. 1 Corinthians 3:11 reads, "For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ." Jesus Christ is our cornerstone. When I looked it up in Google, cornerstone, it reads, the cornerstone of something is the basic part of it, on which it exists, its existence, success, and truth depends. It's the essential foundation stone upon which the structure rested, the first stone set during the building process. Jesus is our cornerstone. We live our lives based on faith and hope and knowledge that he is our cornerstone. God, Jesus, provides stability and support when everything else feels shaky and those times come. Wellspring Church is an Anabaptist church. Anabaptist is a label that teaches us what we believe and who God is, and how we should be in response to him. Anabaptist, that carries meaning for our church, but first and foremost, Christ is our cornerstone. Ironically, when you look up Anabaptist, it reads this, a Protestant sectarian of a radical movement arising in the 16th century. You feel radical sitting here this morning? This movement was advocating the baptism and church membership of adult believers only, non-resistance, and the separation of church and state. I found myself wondering, where's Jesus in that? They need to add that. Jesus is our cornerstone. And as far as adults only, we just had a 10-year-old go through baptism classes and be baptized as a member of our church. Jesus loves children. In Palmer Becker's book titled Anabaptist Essentials, Becker shares the history and theology of the tradition of three core values of the Anabaptist framework. The first one being that Jesus is the center of our life. Anabaptist worship a risen Christ. We view Scripture through the lens of Jesus. In your maturity as a Christian, when you start to read the Bible through the lens of Jesus, that is truly a gift. You see more, you learn more, you're able to live more as you read through the lens of Jesus. There are cardinal Christians in this world, and they are people who will say, yes, I'm a Christian, but they don't live it. They don't understand it. They don't have it in their hearts. We need to have that wisdom in our hearts and in our minds and in our lives so that we are able to say, yes, I am a Christian, and yes, I live as a Christian. As I start to read 1 Corinthians 3, starting at verse 1, several titles were above it. In one Bible, it was the church and its leader. That's how they titled this passage. And another one was divisions in the church. So if you listen carefully, two very different titles come together as we learn to recognize, to rely on Jesus, and to go back to Jesus. When we falter, go back to Jesus. Have him as your cornerstone. Starting at verse 1. Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. Paul is sharing to the church of Corinth. He's already been there. He's taught them. He really thought they had a firm foundation. He went on to other areas to share about Jesus. And now he's having problems understanding their worldly ways. Verse 2. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. You are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? For when one says, I follow Paul, and another, I follow Apollos, are you not mere humans? That competition, I go to this church, I go to that church, this pastor is wonderful, that pastor, that's okay. My friends go there, so I'm going to go there. That competition amongst them still exists today in our world. Apollos followed Paul and teaches what Paul was teaching. Verse 5, what, after all, is Apollos, and what is Paul? Only servants, through whom you came to believe, as the Lord has assigned to each his task. I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. So neither the one who plants nor the one who waters is anything, but only God who makes it grow. The one who plants and the one who waters have one purpose, and they will each be rewarded according to their labor. Some of you may not feel that you would be able to come up and share with others in front of a church, but boy, are you amazing in Bible study, right? Some of you make dinners and provide meals for people, and that's your gift. Some of you simply call others and let them know that you're thinking of them, and that's your gift. Each will be rewarded according to their own labor. The skills that God has given you, you in turn share with others, and people see Jesus in you. For we are co-workers in God's service. You are God's field, God's building. By the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as a wise builder, and someone else is building on it. But each one should build with care. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation using gold, silver, costly stones, wood, hay, or straw, their work will be shown for what it is, because the day will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire, and the fire will test the quality of each person's work. Don't work for selfishness. Don't work to look good. Don't work to be able to say, yeah, I helped him. Mm-mm. Do it for the glory of God. If what has been built survives, the builder will receive a reward. If it is burned up, the builder will suffer loss, but yet will be saved, even though only as one escaping through the flames. Paul had received notification that the church in Corinth was struggling, and so he went back. The ways of the world were influencing the church, and so that continues in today's world. When Paul had left Corinth, the people were truly in Christ, but they did not mature spiritually. And Paul calls them out as not being mature and still being of the world. There was little or no growth happening in that community. There was envy and strife between the people. They remained segregated. They remained cliquish. I think we all have experienced that at one point or another. Not exactly fitting in or feeling like we fit in. That's a tough way to live. They were carnal Christians, believing that they could claim to be saved by confessing Christ, but they didn't obey the rules of Christian living. Paul would call them babes in Christ. Paul encourages those believers, and Jesus encourages us to grow up, to strive to understand the lessons that are provided for us in the Bible. Don't become selfish asking, what's in this for me? Grow in your faith. Avoid jealousy. Do not pretend to be more holy than others. Don't lose sight of the big picture. Don't judge others. One cannot grow by looking at oneself or only thinking about oneself. As we decrease, he increases. Our songs this morning were beautiful, and one of them referenced that. Allow him to increase in your life. Palmer Becker's second core value for the Anabaptist community is that community is the center of our life. I hope David realized that and felt that here this morning. Sometimes I feel like I don't need to preach because, boy, I could feel the Spirit here with our prayer requests and with our words from the Lord, the sense of community that is here. But we continue to work on it. Paul is able to remind the Christians that they are all on the same team. I don't care if you're the Chiefs, I don't care if you're the Eagles, I don't care if you're the Steelers fans out there, we're all on one team. We are. Our faith encourages us to be committed to community. Our faith encourages us to be reading the Bible and interpreting Scripture, not only by ourselves, but together. What a gift. Our faith encourages us to forgive one another, to know when I ask for forgiveness from someone, I'm forgiven. I don't have to think about it. And from one another, it's not something that lingers on. It is forgiven. That's beautiful. When doing this, we gain a fuller picture of what God is truly like. We see and others see that God is moving in our midst. God gives us opportunities to work with him. Amen. Sometimes it's shaky, but he's there with us. Paul's message was for church leaders, and within this context in Corinthians, it extended to all believers, all servants of Christ. Thank goodness he went back. Thank goodness he shared from his heart what Jesus wanted him to share. The third essential core value listed by Becker is reconciliation is the center of our work. As peacemakers, we seek justice and we seek the right relationships with others. We seek to have a relationship with the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The reconciliation coming together is both personal and social as justice is sought. I read, the work is never finished. The work is done with community. It strives towards for shalom, a state of wholeness and universal flourishing. The work is never finished. Shalom is reconciliation with God, peace with others, peace within, wholeness, completeness, and safety. That's our prayer for the world. It's mentioned this morning. If you had your radio on or your TV on, you heard about what's going on in the world. And there is such a need for shalom. Reconciliation with God. So I was given a little bit of a history book for our 500-year anniversary. I'd like to share a little bit from the book with you about the start of Anabaptists, the Anabaptist faith. On October 31st in 1517, Martin Luther, a professor and priest, wrote 95 theses and posted them on the door of the church in Wittenberg, Germany. And this action jump-started what we know as the Protestant Reformation, a breaking away from the Roman Catholicism. It reformed how communities of faith and members of those communities related to the state and church, each other, and God. That was in 1517. In 1522, Ulrich Zwingli began preaching at the Gossmunster Church in Zurich, Switzerland, about reforming various Catholic traditions. Most notably, he challenged the practice of infant baptism. Zwingli agreed with other reformer voices that baptism should be a believer's choice, made when the person is of an age to make the active choice to follow the teachings of Scripture. Zwingli found other voices in the community who also wanted to see reform in the church. They wanted to see a church more aligned with what they were reading in the New Testament, and they gathered to read Scripture, to study together, and to share ideas. On January 21st of 1525, a group of radical reformers, including George Blaurock, Conrad Grebel, Felix Mantz, they met in a home on a block away from the church, and they read the Bible, and they prayed together. Through their readings of Scripture, these reformers concluded that the baptism they had received as an infant was not truly a baptism at all. And after praying, Conrad Grebel asked George Blaurock to baptize him. Blaurock baptized Grebel, who in return baptized Blaurock, and then baptized the others who were present, and the Anabaptist faith was born. 500 years ago. Anabaptist theology and practice has much, much to offer this world. This week, think about those core values that I shared with you. Keep Jesus as the center of your faith. Keep committed to having community as the center of your life. Come together with peacemaking and reconciliation being the center of our work. That comes with acceptance and forgiveness, right? Community is so important. As we raise our children and they go off into the world, we pray that they are in the right community, that they have a community, a safe community, that they're not just sitting and playing games in their room, or hanging out with one person rather than finding out what church to go to, right? Do it in community. How quickly we turn when things go bad and we, oh, I just can't do this. We can do it because we have Jesus. We can get through these things. It's called in this world, just things, whether we're looking for them or not, they happen. Good things and bad things. Keep Jesus the center of your faith. Keep committed to having community as the center of your life. And come together with peacemaking and reconciliation being the center of our work. Weren't we challenged politically lately? Right? Peacemaking, peacemaking, peacemaking. Keep that the center of our work. We are so blessed to recognize that our faith has the power to transform people and to transform this world. I'm so thankful that 500 years ago, some rebels got together and realized there's a need, there's a deep need to turn back to Jesus. Let us pray. Brothers and sisters in Christ, as we end our worship together, let us keep our hearts turned to God. May we live out having a mind, a mind of Christ, free to live in life. May we walk the Jesus way. May we live in love and peace in our Christian faith. May love and understanding be in our hearts and in the world. May the peace of friendship allow us to bring in a place of refuge. A place of refuge for us amid the storms. May we have the power to speak the truth, proclaim peace. May we be compassionate. Let us experience inspiration in the Holy Spirit this week. May we experience inspiration in the blessings and the love we receive from God. Thank you for the peace that you will be giving us this week as we join in bringing righteousness, justice, and community to this world. We give you all thanks, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.